Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Curtis Granderson, New Marlins outfielder. He joins us here in the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Store's guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient. Curtis, good morning. You hear us okay?
Yeah, I got you guys. How you guys doing?
Good. So when the opportunity comes, I mean, you've played in Detroit, you've played in New York for a long time. Tell us, when the opportunity comes to play in Miami, okay, South Florida, is that exciting for you? How are you liking the idea of living here for about the next year?
Definitely is. One, we got no state tax, so that's obviously a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting a chance to come down. But you got a great group of guys here. I've got a chance to play against the Marlins quite a bit when I was with the New York Mets, and seeing how the organization has been changing and trying to improve and move forward, especially now that you have some new ownership that's been taking the helm for about 18 months, almost 19 months now, and everything from the outside looking in is all moving forward, which is all things I've been excited to be a part of.
Tell us, you know, you've been in the majors for a very long time. What's been your impression, the outside looking in, of the Miami Marlins? And I'm talking before Jeter, you know, got here, because they're trying to change everything. But from the outside looking in, what was always your impression of the Miami Marlins?
Well, it was tricky, you know. On the outside looking in, you know, you saw a place where you didn't have a lot of fans coming to the ballpark for whatever reason it was. You also had a team that didn't spend a lot of money. So it was one of those teams where we were like, hey, you know, if everything is moving in the right direction, as everybody is continuing to say, you know, in terms of revenue, in terms of, you know, the popularity of the game, well, why aren't the Marlins keeping up with it? And that was a question that everybody was having across the game. And I'm sure Derek Jeter and his ownership have also looked at that. They're trying to address a lot of those similar issues and hopefully trying to change the culture, because you've seen a team that when they win, obviously people come out. And you've had the ability to have people out there that are talented and able to compete and go out there and put up a good squad. I mean, it was a team that playing against them definitely wasn't an easy task by no means. So they had the ability to go ahead and get things in the right direction to make it, you know, a fan-appealing team, a very talked-about team in baseball. For some reason, they were just missing that. And now moving forward, it's looking like a lot of the things, especially once Jeter and his ownership have taken over, are starting to go ahead and address a lot of those concerns.
Now, Curtis Granderson, you've been an All-Star several times. You've been an MVP candidate before, okay? But I feel like going into this year, it's probably a bit of a different role for you, where you're like the veteran guy who's going to teach the young guys, you know, how to play the game the right way. So are you going into this season with a bit of a different mindset?
Not necessarily. I mean, I go into it with the same mindset year in and year out. Obviously, the roles and everything are going to slightly change. And even last year when I signed with the Toronto Blue Jays, I think my role would be a little bit different, very similar to here with the Marlins. But I think in terms of the leadership and the talking and the teaching, that stuff is innate in all of us, no matter if you're a first-year guy on the team or if you're a guy that's been there for quite a while like I have been. Everybody has the ability to go ahead and bring something to the table to help their teammates, their locker mates, coaching staff get better. So even though everyone says, hey, you're going to be the guy that's going to do it, I'm also looking for some of these other guys to learn things from them as well. And I think it's a combination of guys that are listening, also paying attention, asking questions when needing to, and also speaking up when they have the opportunity to do so.
Did you have someone do that for you when you were a youngster in Detroit? Did you have a veteran who helped you along the way and showed you the right way to go about your business?
It was Dimitri Young. You know, right away, you know, he kind of took me in and, you know, just kind of talked about things, took me here, took me there, you know, helped me get some meals and stuff like that as things were going. But I also was very fortunate. I had a good young group of guys that also helped make the team at the same time. Justin Verlander, him and I both made the same team that year in 2006. Marcus Thames, who's now the hitting coach for the New York Yankees, he also made a team with us. Ryan Rayburn, who's been able to play for a very long time. So we also had that little niche, which is very similar to what's going on here. You see it with J.C. Riddle and Anderson, and those guys are starting to blend very well together. I think their lockers are by each other, and you know, they're always doing a lot of things. I think they even live with each other. So they have those bonds that are created from being the new guys getting to the organization, also the guys that are coming, joining the organization, like myself and Neil Walker and Pedro Alvarez. So everybody kind of comes in with a little bit of different things that they can kind of bring to the table, also helping guys, bringing guys underneath. And sure enough, it's something I've went through, and we're looking to do the same thing over here.
So what does a vet do ultimately? You've been in the league now quite a while. 38 years old. You've seen it. You've done it. The game has changed and is changing currently in front of your own eyes. What does a guy do that has been in the league a long time when he sees these young whippersnappers going out and painting the pavement when they go out and they go on road trips? Do you just tend to stay to yourself and go home, or do you got a crew that you try to stay young with that you might have to go ahead and pound the pavement with them a little bit?
You know, hey, I'm always looking forward to getting a chance to go on the road, but I've only had a chance to make one road trip. You know, I remember watching Mariano Rivera when he was coming towards the end of his career. I don't even think he had a weight uniform in his locker in spring training. So, you know, he didn't get a chance to do it. Now, I don't think I'm at that point. I want to continue to play and get out there and put the team as best I can. But right now, they're not putting me on any road trips. I think I got one more coming up here before we get ready to leave out of here in spring training. But the big thing for me is I'm trying to look at different things, how things are changing, you know, continue to keep my body right and get it ready so I can be out there as many times as possible to help this team win as many games.
Again, we got Curtis Granderson, New Marlins outfielder, joining us here. Is it strange at all working for Derek Jeter, essentially? I mean, that was your teammate. What's that like?
It's interesting because I've actually watched him go through it because him and Joe Girardi were teammates, and he had to be player underneath manager Joe Girardi. And then now I'm in a situation where me and Jeter were teammates, and now I'm playing underneath him. So the good thing is I've got a chance to experience it and see it once firsthand, so it doesn't make it too challenging, but it is something different. You know, not a lot of people are going to get that opportunity where they're going to end up working for or playing for somebody that they got a chance to play alongside with. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm obviously looking forward to it.
You see a lot of the similarities between the way the Yankees were run as the way that he's doing it down here?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, the Yankees are their own thing. You know, they did exactly what they needed to do. Derek obviously playing for the Yankees has that in him, but at the same time, I think he's coming here trying to do his own thing. Even when I talked to him before he ended up taking ownership of this team, his big thing was, hey, I wanted to be in a position where I could be in control and kind of call the shots and do it the way I wanted to do it. So I kind of took that as, hey, I don't want to be in a situation where I also have to answer to somebody else and do it the way they want to do it. I want to do it the way I want to do it. That's what I see him doing down here. And across the board, you know, it's looking like Miami Marlins, the way that Derek Jeter wants to do it. A lot of references have been made from the Yankees to the South, but, you know, when we start making comparisons to everything, then everybody starts looking at stuff going, all right, well, why aren't they doing this and why aren't they doing that? And the big thing I always try to say is because everyone is different. You know, the comparison type of things, no matter what you try to do, no matter how mirror-esque it ends up being, it's always going to be slightly different from player to player, from manager to manager, from team to team. I mean, even the cities, you know, obviously one is in a very warm tropical place and one's in a big metropolitan area. So those are already some two differences right there between the two teams.
Was Jim Leland your skipper in Detroit?
First I had Alan Trammell in 04 and 05, and then I had Jim Leland in 2006 until I got traded to the Yankees.
Because we love Jim Leland down here, of course. I mean, World Series champion with the Florida Marlins. Yeah, did you enjoy playing for him? You got any good
Jimmy Ball, baby.
You got any good Jim Leland stories for us? We love him.
He was great. You know, one of the things that kind of impressed me the most about him is his singing ability. In 2006, when we were doing, I think it was Tiger Fest or something like that, the Fan Fest at the kickoff of the season, we got a chance to go to the Motown Museum. So if you guys are ever up there playing, visiting the Detroit Tigers, and I think we play there this year, so you guys make the trip up. Definitely check out the Motown Museum. It's in the house when Berry Gordy and all of them started recording records with Jackson 5 and the Supremes and everybody. But there's an area in there where they cut a hole in the ceiling where you can get very good acoustics. And sure enough, Jim Leland comes out there and starts belting these notes out. And everyone's looking around like, is this for real? And I wish we had, you know, in the day and age, everybody would have had their cell phone so we could have pulled it out and recorded it. But, I mean, he had some notes. If I was Berry Gordy, I would have looked to try to sign him at that point.
And what was he singing? Do you remember what he was singing?
Man, I can't even remember. He just started going off, and no one really even asked him to do it. I think it just kind of started. We ended up in a spot. Someone said, hey, this is the spot where you can sing and go ahead and enhance your voice. And boom, he just broke out into it. And I can't remember exactly what song it was, but he went on for about a good minute, and everybody was shocked, and it was amazing to see. It would have been one of those situations, like if you would have put him on American Idol, they would have gave him the gold ticket. He would have advanced.
Curtis Granderson here with us, new Marlins outfielder. Opening weekend is next week. And real quick here, Curtis, speaking of opening day, you know, opening series is going on right now in Tokyo, the Mariners and the Athletics. What do you make of that? Does it bother you if the opening games are out there in Tokyo? What do you think of that?
Well, I think Tokyo is an amazing place. I've got a chance to go there two times and really loved it, once as an ambassador, once on just vacation. So it's a baseball culture through and through, They love the game. They're excited for it. If the guys are ready to roll and able to get out there and get acclimated ahead of time, that's always been the big thing from the Player Association. We're all for getting a chance to expand the game and take it to places where either it is currently going or places that we think it could go. Just give enough time for guys to go ahead and get acclimated to the time change, to the situation, to all those different things that are going on there. Because the season is already very demanding as it is. So to run guys out there and turn around and run them back, that's the thing that guys are against. But if you give enough off days beforehand and enough off days afterwards, guys are really excited about the opportunity to do those different things.
Now, Curtis, you're a big-time home run hitter. Like, people have told you that Marlins Park, it's very, very deep. You're aware of this, right?
Oh, yeah, but I don't consider myself a home run hitter. Everyone else says that.
40 home runs. I'm going to call you a home run hitter.
Yeah, I get lucky from time to time. But, yeah, I just hit the ball, and sometimes it happens to go out. But definitely don't consider myself a home run hitter.
Curtis, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Good to have you in town. Best of luck this season.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good one.
All right, that's Curtis Granderson right there. And again, opening day, as we mentioned, it's a week away. It's a week away from today. And the Marlins want to let you know, okay, that fans there are encouraged to, look, get out of work early, okay? Get out a little early. It's a 4:10 start, okay? So leave early. Do that half-day kind of thing and come check out all the new ballpark enhancements. They got a lot going on there, okay, from the food and the music. Get yourself some drinks. Let's get the day started, okay? Check. They got a lot of new stuff there. They want you to come out early. They want you to check out what they got going on. And tickets are available at marlins.com/tickets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.